Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota lawmakers have begun writing a bill that would legalize industrial hemp next year. Keystone XL pre-construction activity resumes. And U.S. Senator Mike Rounds was in Sioux Falls yesterday where he discussed the bitter mood in Washington. Our Dakota political junkies are ready to discuss all that and more. Joining us from our Vermilion studio is Mike Card, professor of political science at USD. Hello, Mike. Welcome back.
Hello. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
And Rapid City Journal Enterprise reporter Seth Tupper is in the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in SDPB's Black Hills studio. Hey, Seth.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with hemp because this hemp legislation and the study committee that has been doing research over the summer, starting to write some legislation but holding off for the U.S. Department of Agriculture's announcement later in the year for hemp program guidelines. Mike Card, start us off with how did this become not just something that we were trying to figure out from a legislative standpoint, but really a battle between the governor and these lawmakers?
Well, if we think way back, hemp was outlawed several decades ago as part of the war on marijuana. Although hemp had been used and was a major part of South Dakota's economy for ropes and things of that nature. Most recently, in the most recent farm bill, hemp was authorized to be grown and taken off the list of controlled substances. Hemp is a different plant than marijuana, although they are very similar in their appearance. And then a bill to authorize hemp growing and the like in South Dakota was introduced and was vetoed by Governor Noem. The legislature put together a study committee for the summer to work on addressing the concerns. And Governor Noem, I believe, suggested that she would veto the bill. And I think that's where we are right now, is they're working on a bill. She has listed 315 questions in a letter to the committee that she would like answered. They have responded that they would like the executive branch to deal on those. Their job is to do policy, not to implement it. And I think that's where we are.
Let's talk about those 315 questions and Governor Noem's speaking out against hemp. Seth Tupper, you know, she wrote an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal saying, I'm going to veto it again and here's why. But what about these 315 questions? As you look at them, there's a really detailed assessment of things that she wants to know about what happens next if this legislation is passed. Have you seen that before?
No, and I mean, it's hard to take that list of 315 questions as anything but sort of a grandstanding. You know, you don't often see that. It's kind of an over-exaggeration to prove a point, obviously, that she has what she thinks are serious concerns about hemp and, and to show just how serious, you know, she's throwing 315 questions at the wall.
Like and, they had a brainstorming session and somebody took notes and then put them all together
It is sort of amazing that the links and extent that she went to make a point, and she made it, I guess. There's a lot of questions, but that's been one of the most confusing things about this, really, I think, for the public, is that, you know, on one hand, you have Governor Noem saying that there are all kinds of serious and long-lasting public safety impacts that police officers and highway patrol officers can't, you know, readily tell the difference between hemp and marijuana. And then on the other hand, you have other people saying, and I've interviewed some of these people in other states, saying that actually it's no problem at all, that, you know, you pick somebody up who has something that appears to be hemp or marijuana, you check to see if they're licensed, a licensed hemp grower here or in another state, and if they're not, you arrest them. And some people say it's just that simple. So it's been really perplexing to watch it unfold that on the one hand, so many people thinking this is just a simple issue. Hemp is not something that can get you high and it has economic value, so why can't we grow it? And on the other hand, you know, the governor taking a completely opposite approach, saying that this is a danger to public safety.
And a social experiment.
Yeah, yeah. And it's hard for some people to understand that, how something that's not intoxicating can be viewed in this way, and something that as Mike mentioned has had past economic value in this country and has been an industrial product before.
All right, so a couple things. There's so many questions here. And Mike Card, I kind of want 315 questions about every piece of legislation. And what I'm getting at there is, you know, it seems like sometimes things are passed that, you know, we'll all sort of scratch our heads and say, did they think about the potential impact of this? And then things will have to get kind of, detangled later on down the road. I've never seen in my, limited experience this comprehensive of an assessment of legislation before it's even been written. Why not do it more often?
Well, it's partly the cost. And often in implementing a bill, yeah, it is done by the administrative agency that has to implement the bill.
Okay.
You know, my own personal experience was in shifting over from the Comprehensive Employment and Training Act to the Job Training Partnership Act, and there were more than 315 questions that we had about who's eligible and how should we do this and who's going to pay for the training and how are we going to get it done. And in here, it's who's going to do the testing, what are the sampling protocols. And I believe that the chairman of the interim study committee said that's the administration's issue, is to answer those questions.
Yeah.
And a policy question is, should we do this or not? And to give guidance to the administrative agency in terms of implementing the bill.
Fascinating. All right, so I was in the bookstore this weekend and I picked up a random, everything's got CBD oil on the cover right now and instructions about this, and I picked up a random thing and it was talking about the journey from something that an illegal substance to medicinal to decriminalized to legal. And what else could go that route? And Mike, this is the sort of thing that Governor Noem is arguing for, saying like this is part of an overall strategic process that other people want, and what we're really going to end up with is legalized marijuana, and that's part of what we're standing against right now. Is this about hemp? Or is this about marijuana? Or is this about telling the legislature to listen to what she says? Is this a power play between the two groups? Is it about hemp or is it about marijuana? What do you think?
Well, I think it's become a power play between the two groups. I certainly can't interpret anyone's private motives for what they do, but the longer we talk about it, we will get closer to what you had mentioned was a later topic, which was bitterness in Washington. We'll probably have some bitterness in Pierre, and it may be over this issue where some see economic opportunity when corn and soybean prices are very low and we're having people not be able to run their farm at an efficient scale, and this looks like something that could help, and it doesn't have to be planted as often. And yet, on the other hand, what we're bringing up is, well, this is a slippery slope, and I suspect that great care has to be taken. One of the other issues is it has been not lawful, except under special permitting conditions, to study the effects of marijuana or of hemp on the body. And so there aren't very many random controlled double-blind studies on the effects of CBD oil. So is it effective? Well, people swear by it, but I also know people that swear by Absorbine Jr. to keep the gnats away. And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't.
Seth, all this sort of began with, once I start giggling, Mike, sometimes I don't stop, so you have to be careful. Seth, this is the first legislative session, this initial, sort of, I don't want to say power play, but this initial sort of bumping of heads between the governor and the legislature happened early on, after she was sworn in as governor. Now we're kind of churning toward that next legislative session. What are we kind of learning about what kind of governor Kristi Noem intends to be?
Oh, well, certainly I think we're learning. I think we knew that from what kind of U.S. representative she was, that she believes in taking stands when she thinks it's worth it. And she's not afraid to assert herself, and I think that's the kind of politician that she's always been. That's not surprising. She's different from Governor Dugard in that way, that I think we saw in Governor Dugard a governor who was more prone to work behind the scenes rather than sort of, make a hard and firm public stand. He did, Governor Dugard had to cut the budget. His first year in office and his first weeks and months in office. But he did that by traveling the state and holding listening sessions in the communities and really trying to build a consensus was the way he approached it. Whereas Governor Noem on this on the hemp issue seems to be saying that if she has to be the last one standing on the hill, you know, protecting against this, she will, and she's willing to do that. And so it's a very different style than the previous governor.
All right, let's follow what Mike Card said about bitterness in Washington, because U.S. Senator Mike Rounds, was here in the state, and of course people are asking him about what's happening in Washington, and he says it's pretty bitter. The president has a unique style. And Seth, I'm not sure I've heard Mike Rounds say anything that was dangling on that edge until the president has a unique style. How about you?
Yeah, that may be the understatement of the century, right? Unique in talking about Donald Trump. But yeah, it was funny. I read the story, and you know, later in the story, Senator Rounds mentioned that, you know, hey, it could be, I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, it could be worse. At least we're not assaulting each other, you know, on the floor of the Senate like they were in a civil war. And you do have to come away from that thinking, is that the bar now?
Right. That we're
you know, but hey, at least we're not beating each other up. And so that's a real comment on sort of what's going on in Washington right now, is that that the fallback position is, hey, it could be worse. Civil War.
Mike Card, what are your thoughts? Because I thought the same thing. I thought, first of all, I think it's unusual for Senator Rounds not to just say something really positive about the president. Having, you know, that euphemism of having a unique style, I thought it was noteworthy. And then this notion of, you know, and he also invokes Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton saying, well, we're not having duels either.
Do I need to get a glove out? And no, this is a serious issue for our country, as, you know, starting in the lead up to the 2016 election, the Mueller report indicated that there were foreign countries involved in our election. There was no substantiation that there was a relationship with the president's campaign. And so now we're asking another country to investigate a political rival. And for some people, that's reason for impeachment. And for others, it's just, well, we don't trust the FBI to investigate or the CIA, so we have to ask whoever we can. And we are, if nothing else, perhaps becoming the victim of the sound bites put out by the two particular sides on this issue, that what we hear are the sound bites and not an investigation of whether indeed this was done. And now we see that the president has decided we're not going to give any documents, we're not going to make any executive branch official able to come to the Congress to meet. And so now we have a stalemate, and we just keep escalating up the conflict. And I certainly hope we don't end up in a civil war, but we're certainly having verbal battles.
Right. And I've heard people make the argument that, you know, lives are at stake and people are suffering. And, you know, as we make light and kind of make our jokes about the civil war, you know, from the things that are being done at the border and to people pointing out, you know, the lives that are at stake there, to things that aren't being done, USMCA not being dealt with, trade, you know, family farms going bankrupt. There is a lot of collateral damage to this unwillingness between these two parties to, I don't know, maybe unwillingness isn't the right word, Seth, but the problems and the bitterness and the impeachment struggles and the behavior of the president, and however you are coming at this, there are consequences. There are real consequences in South Dakota beyond just saying, oh, those guys in Washington don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and I also think it's somewhat, you know, it's somewhat disingenuous when people say, oh, you know, this impeachment thing is making it so we don't get anything else done.
Right.
You know, before impeachment, not much got done either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the Republicans had both houses of Congress and the presidency, and didn't really get anything done on immigration at that time. And, you know, during the Obama presidency, when You know, he was famous for being no drama Obama. You know, we didn't get really anything done as far as comprehensively on immigration and a host of other issues. So, I mean, the gridlock in Washington, you know, goes a lot deeper than just because, you know, some people want to impeach the president. And I'm not sure if it wasn't for impeachment that they'd be getting a lot else done either, because the underlying division is still there. This is just the, you know, the latest example of it.
Yeah. Well, and Seth's point is an important one, is immigration hasn't been dealt with in at least 20 years. Mm-hmm. And the sides are well drawn, and they are sticking to their positions. And until we can come up with a way to have some form of compromise where neither side is happy, but we start moving in the direction of having a realistic immigration policy, we're not going to do anything except create more tension. In many areas of our country, we need workers. In other areas of our country, we have more than enough workers. We don't need immigrants in terms of filling the labor supply, just as one small piece of that overall problem.
I think the last time we had a story about a compromise where everyone was unhappy was non-meandering waters. nobody liked that one. It was a true compromise, and it stands today. Speaking of getting things done, we better talk about Keystone XL pre-construction activity moving forward, and Seth wrote about this at RapidCityJournal.com. Seth, give us an idea of what's moving in South Dakota and where.
Yeah, and there's since been an addendum to that story, another development. But anyway, in late September, in a lawsuit in Montana that's ongoing over the Keystone XL project, Keystone XL's lawyers from TC Energy, the company that wants to do the project, filed a status update and said that since an injunction was against the project was lifted in June in this particular case, that they plan to do a bunch of pre-construction activities, including spraying for weeds along the route and improving haul roads near the route and moving, you know, modular units. We have I think dozens to hundreds of modular units stored here in Rapid City in a yard that eventually will go out to the workforce camps, doing a lot of that activity. They filed that, I believe it was on September 20th. Then on October 3rd, more recently, the same lawyers filed another status update that said, oh, actually, no, we're not going to do most of that stuff. we're going to wait. And there's a hearing today, actually, in one of several lawsuits that are pending over the Keystone XL project. There's a hearing today, and the lawyers in the new status update said that they would wait until at least after today's hearing because apparently they'd reconsidered whether it was appropriate to do some of those pre-construction activities or not. But they're definitely proceeding and envisioning that perhaps they would construct a pipeline next year, which, you know, depending what happens in the presidential race, that could get interesting too.
Right, that's what I was going to say, because Victoria Wicks is covering this as well, and in her news piece today it mentioned you could have to contend with a new president, maybe, maybe not. That's the nature of elections. And Mike Card, that plays into this in the sense that you see, similar to the impeachment hearing, people pacing themselves to position themselves best for an election as well. So there's a strategy which leads to nothing getting done, or everything getting done, depending on what side you're on.
Well, you know, humor is one of our coping mechanisms to deal with stress.
We're using it a lot today.
You know, I think it was Daniel Patrick Moynihan who noted that everyone's entitled to their own opinions, but not everyone's entitled to their own facts. And part of the issue that we're running into with the stories that we're dealing with today are that we don't have agreement on what the facts are. And that makes it very difficult, because now we're deciding things based on our opinions, and our opinions may not be and are not often informed by the facts of the case. So here we have, with the Keystone XL, decisions that we're waiting for, and we're trying to, you know, if I'm on the side that I don't want this, I would be trying to delay this until the next president. And we have precedent for that in the Senate with, we're not going to consider a Supreme Court nominee. The new president should decide that. Well, now we've shrunk the term to 3 years from four. And from that, I suspect that unless we get a grip as a people, and either make it very clear to our elected officials that we need to get in, and in this case our administrative officials, we need to deal with the facts of the matter, and if we can't get at the facts of the matter, maybe we just shouldn't do it.
All right, let's all get a grip and stand with the facts, and we'll leave it there for today. Mike Card is a professor of political science at the University of South Dakota. Dr. Card, thanks for being here. We appreciate your insight.
Thanks for your time.
Rapid City Journal reporter Seth Tupper, you can find him at rapidcityjournal.com. Seth, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.